Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're doing question and answer still. And last week, I think I had like three more questions added to me, although this is, I'm not sure when Pete will be away again. Well, I guess I do, probably in the end of September. Anyhow, that when I take his class, I deal with the question and answer. And I think I made it clear last time is I really appreciate getting the questions ahead of time and not just giving you a quick answer. I mean, some of these, I would, as soon as I read the question, I know what I'm going to say, except that when you read the question, you realize you need to say a little bit more than that. You need to think it a little bit more through. In this question, it's actually two parts, but the first part is, where does the Bible say that we have active prophets today? And that's because there's many people that teach that's true. So the second question is really a statement. I thought that no prophets are active during the period of grace. And the last part of that, well, that second question is actually a statement that's a true statement. But when to deal with that, where does the Bible say that we have active prophets today? Let me just take you to where some would teach that there are active prophets today, and we'll deal a little bit with why they think so. And then the person who thought there is no active prophets today will show that that is true and why that is true. So there are three passages of Scripture that talk about when the Holy Spirit came, even in the age of grace, he gave gifts to men. And it's kind of easy to follow. It's Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, it just kind of just mentions the gifts that are there and to make sure that people are ministering in the capacity, like for instance, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy according to the portion of faith. In other words, say what God said to you, but don't say anything more than that, which is kind of an obvious statement. But in 2 Corinthians 12, you get more of a list of different gifts. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, you get the reason why those gifts were given. And so there'll be 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 are going to be the answer, especially to the last part of the question. But first, let's read just a little bit about the gifts. If you start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and notice that when it talks about gifts of the Spirit, it's talking about manifestation, meaning it's magnified, it's made known. I mean, when someone's given a gift of the Spirit, it's clear the Spirit is giving these gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So everybody who gets a gift, it's not for them, it's to profit everybody. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so you get a good number of the list here. I don't know if I put them all together, what the number of comes out to, like 28 or so. But anyhow, these are the gifts that were given. And before we talk any further about it, it's so someone who would think that these gifts are here today, they'd read a passage like this and they'd say, see, there's these gifts and I'm a prophet. And another one, maybe some of these others. It's important for you to realize that right after prophecy, it says to another discerning of spirits. How would you know a man stands up and he says, I'm a prophet? How would you know he is a prophet? But someone else has a gift of discerning spirits, and that man's not speaking by the Spirit of God. That man is speaking by the Spirit of God. Even when it comes to tongues, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So a guy gets up and he's talking in a foreign language, how do you know what he's saying? Well, God gave someone else the interpretation of the tongue. He can stand up and say what that guy just said. And so it's not just one person and everyone has to follow that one person. There's checks and balance when the Holy Spirit was given. But there's a problem. The question brings it up. and why do some people think there's active prophets today? And there's several reasons. One is because they're led astray by false teachers, and that's really how this chapter begins. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, even as you were led. Well, if they're dumb, if they can't speak, how did the Gentiles worship idols in the first place? Someone told them, this idol is a god. And they go, oh, okay. So, you know, there's these checks and balance where you actually need to discern whether these things are true. So some people think there's prophets around today because some preacher said there was. Well, that's no good. The other thing is, they don't keep reading. This is just the beginning of Paul talking about spiritual gifts. It doesn't end till chapter 14. And see, they go, oh, see, there's prophets, and they stop reading. They don't read and learn the context. Anything, any doctrine you ought to learn, not only what it was, but why was it given? And no one even questions that. And so they get led astray that way because they don't just keep reading. And the other is that they, in not understanding, they're not going to understand the correlation. For instance, in verse 8 it says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. You realize that's them coming to an understanding, both intellectually and in wisdom. They learn in the what and the why. Then to another by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and that is, it's associated with the miracles, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Why is there gifts of healing? Now, I'm not going to go through that, but the last verse in Mark chapter 16 says they went everywhere with signs following, confirming the word. Everything when you read about sign gifts, it has to do with the word of God. And that's why we, those checks and balances. Are they really speaking the word of God? And in verses 8 through 11 here, you can realize this category is three things. There is the word of God. There's the giving of the word of God. And then there is, confirmation of the word of God. And there is the communication of the word of God. Like when you get into tongues and all, if God's given his word, and God today is speaking to more than Israel, to the nations, God gave gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, to profit everybody. But if you notice, there's the word of God itself, then there's the confirmation, this is the word of God, and then there's the communication of the word of God. Everything centers around the word of God. That's what it's all about. And so that's the purpose of it. And the people who say there's active, that this is active today, don't pay attention to what it was, why it was given, but also the responsibility of it. Like when we talk about the communication. Come back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now Moses was a prophet of God, and he's given them the Pentateuch, the first five books, of the Old Testament. And in chapter 18, there's a couple things there. There's another question I have that verses 9 through 12, 9 through 14 answer. But I'll let Bill Burkle read those and realize there's the answer to his question, because we got to go on to our question. look at verse 19. And by the way, verse 15 talks about a prophet coming that they better hear. And that's in the New Testament quoted twice, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prophet they better hear. But in verse 19 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you go all the way back to chapter 13, it talks about a man who says he's a prophet, and he does a miracle, and then he tells them a false message, like worship a pagan god. When it says they're to die, the explanation there is you're to stone them with stones. So that's how they're supposed to die. So my point is, see that those words, But if a prophet shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. That's what goes on today. A man gets a preacher gets up and says, God told me this, and then he shares it. And he, God did not, if prophecy ended, God didn't give him that. And if God really did give him that, realize what the problem is. Is if God really didn't give him that, and he communicates it, or if he writes it down, doesn't that become scripture? That's the word of God, written word of God. And if every prophet that says he's a prophet stands up and writes it down, your Bible is so obsolete that God has said so much more than what this Bible said that this Bible is just the beginning of your knowledge of God. You got to get to all these prophets and what their writings are to know what God has said since the old days. And so my point to you is the guy who thinks he's an active prophet today is presuming to speak. But how would you know if he presumed to speak or not? Well, look at verse 21. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But that prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So if you're not afraid of him, what are you supposed to do with him? Verse 20, he shall die. He prophesies something. I don't know how many guys stand up and say, you know, God said this and America's going to fall or whatever they say, and it doesn't come to pass. If we're going to obey the Old Testament scriptures, the guy ought to be stoned to death. That'll stop people presuming to speak in Jesus' name or in, as a prophet of God. And my main point is, people who say they're active prophets, they're just presuming it. They're liars. And there's a strict warning in the Old Testament. They had to prove that they were a prophet by saying something that would be near future, and then they could say something that's far future because they talked about the end of the world. But they had to say something that's near. And if it didn't come to pass what's near, the guy's a false prophet, stone him. Don't be afraid of him. So you don't presume to speak in God's name. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. And how do we know that it ended, that there's no active prophets today? Well, if you notice in verse 31, verse 28 of chapter 12. It says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts healings, help, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? You would answer that question, obviously, right? Not everybody was an apostle. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all miracles of workers? No. Have all the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to all those questions is no. The Holy Spirit divided those gifts up severally as He will. So when those gifts were active, not everybody spoke in tongues. So when you walk into a church and everybody's speaking in tongues, you know that's not the Spirit of God. And especially if there's no interpreter, that's later on, but we're not going to get into that. He's not even allowed to speak. But my point is verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, two statements are made at the end of chapter 12. Covet the best gifts. So that means one gift is better than another. And then the second is, I'll show you a more excellent way. Why is there something more excellent than all those miraculous gifts? How could you get any better than that? Well, the next chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a twinkling cymbal. Charity, which is really a little bit more than love. It's different than love in that it's a full it's fully self-sacrificing for someone else. And that's what charity is. And if you had all the gifts, verse 2, and though I have all gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. So charity is more important than all the gifts. But why Why is it more important than all the gifts? Why does it say it's the more excellent way? Well, look at the last verse of the chapter, verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, if there's a more excellent way than even the gifts, why is it? Well, you get a clue just by reading the last verse, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That means those other things aren't going to abide. They're going to end. But what is going to continue throughout the age of grace is faith. We're going to have God's word to believe. We're going to have hope, the hope that God promised us of resurrection and in his purpose in eternal life. And we're going to have charity, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. What used to motivate people was the Holy Spirit giving gifts. What's going to motivate people today is the love of God is going to motivate us. And that's going to, those three things are going to continue. Faith, hope, and charity. That's the three things you read in all of Paul's epistles that go all through the age of grace. But that, they're the more, charity is the most excellent way because the others are going to end. Well, go back up to verse 8. When are they going to end? Charity never faileth. Well, that's good. We just read that. But whether there'll be prophecies, they shall fail. And we're not talking about a prophet standing up and saying something and it's not coming true and he was a true prophet, it just didn't come true. When it says prophecies shall fail, God's going to quit speaking through prophets. He's going to quit prophesying through men. That's going to end. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. Today, if you want to communicate in another language, in another country, you go to language school. Study like mad to learn that other language so you can communicate God's word in that language. What's going to motivate you to do that? Charity. Because God's not going to give you. Just you can walk into that country and you'll be able to speak the language of that country. It's not going to happen. Tongues are going to cease. Whether there'll be knowledge, that's supernatural. I don't have to study the Bible. God's just going to put it in my head. Knowledge shall vanish away. It doesn't mean everyone's going to be dumb. It just means God's not going to... Remember, there's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. That's no longer... God's not going to be giving that out anymore. So what do you got to do? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so those things are going to end. If prophecy ends, then there's no more communication of God's word. Well, why would that happen? Well, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I like that a couple different ways. If you only know in part, then when you prophesy, just say that part. Don't say any more. But that's part. If you only have part, you only have part of what God has to reveal, right? But it says, but when that which is perfect is come. Now, there's big arguments. What's perfect? Well, what's the context? What's in part? Knowledge and prophecy. The knowledge of God and what God has communicated through prophets is only, you only got part of it right now. But when that which is perfect, full knowledge, the prophetic word of God, when you have God's word complete, then that which is in part shall be done away. Why? Well, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. See, don't forget, when Paul wrote Corinthians and these others, was the full, everything that God revealed to Paul, was it already known? Even in Paul's epistles, there is progressive revelation. Before I go any further, hold your place here. Come back, it's what I was teaching at the conference. Come back to John chapter 14. But hold your place in Corinthians. This chapter is, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and he's going to come again. So the Lord is telling his apostles that he's about to leave them. But he's not going to leave them without anything. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Now, a few weeks ago I taught this verse, these things here. That's a promise that, how is the 12 apostles and others like Luke and Mark, how is it that they were able to remember everything the Lord said and taught and write it down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, the Lord said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to teach them some things. Is that what it says? It says he's going to teach them all things. And it's going to start out by bringing all things to their remembrance what he's already taught them. Now, come over to chapter 16. In verse 13. Well, no, I got to start in verse 12. In verse 12, he's continuing to tell them. He says, I have many, many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into, there it is again, all truth. And for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So that's how Hebrews through Revelation got written. And the Holy Spirit came to guide them into all truth. But remember in verse 12, the Lord said, I have many more things, but you can't receive them right now. You know what people miss? The Bible is progressive revelation. Jesus Christ didn't teach everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In order for them to have all truth, the Holy Spirit came and continued to give them, to teach them, until they had all truth. Now, if they had all truth, and by the way, I'm not going to go to Colossians 1:25, but that's where Paul said it was given to him to fulfill the word of God. So they had Israel's program. The Old Testament was settled. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He brought all things to their remembrance. Then the Holy Spirit is going to show them things to come. That's Hebrews through Revelation. But what about the mystery? That was given to Paul to fulfill the word of God. To fill full the word of God. Corinthians, when that which is perfect is come. And when Paul writes his last epistle, what does he say? All scripture, that's God's written word, not spoken word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Paul's last statement, just a chapter before his final remarks, is that scripture is all you need. And if they were given all truth, and Paul got the capstone of Revelation to fill full the word of God, who could stand up and add to that today? You know, if you study the law under Moses, he said, don't let any man add to or take from these commandments. You read the book of Revelation, it ends by saying, don't let any man add to or take from the prophecy of this book. And they can't add to or take from Paul's epistles because it was given to Paul to fill full the word of God. So a man presumes to stand up and speak as a prophet and add to God's word. Ooh, he's stepping on sacred territory that if he's saved, he's going to give an account someday. And if he's not saved, woe unto him to presume to speak in God's name. But that which is, I know in part, I prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. In the early age of grace, as God is just now revealing what our doctrine is, Paul says, when I was a child, I knew as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, that's a full-grown adult, I put away childish things. And then he says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. See, those things are going to continue on, but he's telling you prophecy is going to end. Are you still got 1 Corinthians? Look at verse 12 as we close 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, for now, when Paul's writing 1 Corinthians, now we see through a glass darkly. Now, don't forget, in those days, they didn't have the beautiful mirrors we have. They polished silver and stuff, and they would look into that and try to see their image. And he says, at this point in time, we see through a glass darkly. We're looking and we see kind of just a bare image of some things. But then, when that which is perfect is come, then face to face, I'll see it clearly. Now I know in part, But then, when that which is perfect has come, but then shall I know even as I am known. I always think, you ever talk to someone and they got, you know, maybe a little piece of food out of the corner of their mouth? And if they would look in a mirror, they would be known like I know them. And that's what that's talking about, is there's going to become a time you're going to see clearly what God wants you to see. Right now it's dark, but when that was perfect, when we have God's complete word, we're going to have it all. And so even when we have it all, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, and the greatest of these is charity. So you realize, as if you kept reading the context, those supernatural gifts were going to end. They were given to confirm the word of God, and when the word of God is complete, there's no more need for them. The word of God is all you need, the written word of God, scripture. When it said, covet earnestly the best gift, you know, out of all those gifts, you know what the best gift was? Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that prophesieth in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Some people say that's why they speak in tongues. Remember, the theme is why you should rather prophesy. If no man understands you, is that any good? If the Spirit gave you the gift to profit everybody and you're the only guy that understands what you're saying, is that any good? No. Why should you rather prophesy? But, verse 3 says, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. And so this whole chapter is written to say, now you got all these other gifts, but covet earnestly the best. You need to prophesy because that's going to help people grow in the Lord, but prophecy is going to fail. And when it fails, then you're going to have God's complete word, and you don't need a prophet anymore. So anyhow, that's the context of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Now come over to Ephesians chapter 4. So people think that there's prophets today because they're being deceived, because men are speaking presumptuously. They're not reading the context of the passage to realize that those things were temporary, and they don't realize that Scripture is all you need today. That the Bible was progressive in Revelation until it was complete, and now that's all we need. And so there's a lot of people being deceived. But here it says in Ephesians chapter 4, that's where I got you, right? It says in verse 7, but to every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So when the Lord ascended back into heaven, he gave gifts to men. Look down in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Interesting, Paul here doesn't talk about the gift, but the person who has the gift. And it really is a reflection of how they were given. But notice this. So you have some apostles and prophets. And by the way, Timothy was considered apostle. Even Silas was considered an apostle traveling with the apostle Paul. And so he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now God gave that. A lot of pastors think, I'm God's gift to you. You can't fire me because I was called of God, and God put me here, and pastors speak this way, by the way. But they get it from the false thinking of this, that they're gifted men that were given. No, notice he gave. Is that present tense, future tense, or is that past tense? He gave. Now, why did Jesus Christ give those gifted men to the body of Christ? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, that all verse 12 still needs to go on, doesn't it? But you know, it needs to go on. We don't need the apostles and prophets anymore because God's word is complete. But we still need someone doing the work of an evangelist, getting people saved. Pastors and teachers, someone to shepherd and teach the saints. So, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But my point is, verse 11 says, and he gave, and verse 13 says, till. Oh, he gave those men for that reason in verse 12, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, the unity of the faith doesn't mean everybody, all the believers are unified and believe the same thing. The unity of the faith means we have the complete word of faith. For instance, if you look up in verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is one a unity? Yeah. There's one faith. That the one faith. What are we supposed to believe in the age of grace? We keep saying Romans to Philemon. That's God's word for us. And when we have that unity of faith, when we have God's complete word, then we don't need those supernatural gifts anymore. So he gave those gifts till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you have the knowledge of the Son of God? And if you do, where is it? It's in the written word of God. We have the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Isn't that what all scripture is supposed to bring you to? Unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. It can mature you to the level that God wants you matured. Now notice the next verse, 14. That henceforth. Oh wow. So Jesus Christ, when he ascended in heaven, he gave till and then henceforth. What's henceforth mean? From this point forward. So in the past he gave, and when we have the Bible to completion, that can accomplish the things that verse 13 and 12 talk about, here's what we're left with. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boy, there's a lot of deceivers out there, and they could deceive you. But from this point forward, with the complete word of God, you don't have to be a child tossed to and fro. You don't have to listen to every wind of doctrine that comes by. You can go to the scriptures and find out what the truth is. And once you find out the truth, notice verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working is every person takes in God's word to a certain portion. And it's that portion that you take it in that God's able to use you to minister to another believer. And as it, by that effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How does the body of Christ get increased and edified? Well, there's the work of an evangelist. And as you go out and share the gospel, people get saved. As they come into the local church and there's pastors and teachers to teach them, and everybody, like, I'm not the only teacher, three other teachers downstairs today, and so there's other people to do the teaching. That's the effectual working of the measure of every part. When I read Ephesians, it's really clear to me that what God did when he gave gifts to men, when Jesus Christ set it on high, it's like starting a motor. You get in the car, and you turn the key, and the motor starts. But what's... Anymore, you don't even need a key. But anyhow, after the motor starts, what do? Do you hold that key and keep cranking that starter? No, as soon as that motor starts, you let go. Why? Because now it's running. The cylinders keep functioning, and the motor keeps running on its own. And then now you can go. God gave gifts to men to start the work that he wanted started in the age of grace. And when they bring to completion the word of God, now the engine is running. Now what do? Then we take people who study the Bible and learn God's word and minister that God's word to others. To the lost, they get saved. To those who are saved, they get to know speaking the truth in love. They get to know what the truth is. So they're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. So the motor's running today in the age of grace. There's no need for a prophet to be given a gift of prophecy and add to God's word. And if they did, then that means Peter, James, John, the Apostle Paul never did get all the truth. They need to be around today to learn from the prophets what new truth God has for everybody today, because there's still prophecy going on, but there's not. I don't want to end this class with that statement. That's obvious why they were given till and then they ended. And now we take the word of God that we have, and we don't have to be children anymore. We can know these things and be confident that we have the truth of God's word and don't have to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Look at that. Perfect timing. I bet you wish the 11 o'clock hour was like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that there was a time I was confused about all these things. It wasn't so clear. Used to fight what these verses are really talking about. But as we look at it and realize how precious your word is to you and how scripture replaces all those other things, we thank you that we live in the time of maturity where we have the full, complete word of God. All truth has been revealed. We don't need someone to stand up and add to. And we fear for them that think they can and aren't going to be carried away by their winds of doctrine. So thank you for the class this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.